I am Patrick Yost, National President of Fraternal Order Police. This is the Blue View.
Well, today we have a great group of guys here. We want to talk about the Unity Tour and the role that it plays in honoring our fallen from across the country. It's, you know, just such a dedication of so many people who not only sacrifice in take their energy to call attention to our fallen, but also raise some significant funds for the memorial itself. So, and with that, I'll start off, guys. We're going to talk about the Unity Tour, but let's let everybody know who you are. Harry, let's start with you. If you could introduce yourself, tell a little bit of your background, and then we'll follow up with Pat.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Harry Phillips. I'm the executive director of the Police Unity Tour. I'm a retired sergeant from West Orange Police Department in New Jersey.
And Pat, you've got a colorful history as well. Let's tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about yourself.
I served over 28 years. I retired from Florham Park, New Jersey as a police chief. From retirement there, I had the honor of working at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial for a few years, 6 years. Ended up as the executive director there, and then retired from there to come back home to do the love of what I feel in my life has been one of the greatest things I've ever done, together with many people in blue, and that's be a part of the Police Unity Tour. Harry said it earlier that I was the founder of it, but it takes more than just one person to be the leader and creator. It takes an army of people that care enough about one thing in order for it to be appropriate, proper, and committed. And I believe the greatest thing about coming back to the Police Unity Tour, in a sense, by being a part of the day-to-day operation every day again, was important to see the hard work that goes on in Harry and his office and the people and all the volunteers across, the country, and to touch lives across, as far as Israel, Australia, Italy, Ireland, England, and many, many more that I may have missed. But our greatest achievement is bringing our brothers and sisters together to honor. And that in my life, as long as I can say and hold my head up and say that our commitment was to serve our people and our community to the best of our abilities, and we were willing to lay our lives down, then we as law enforcement should be honoring and respecting those who paid that ultimate sacrifice and sit on a wall located in Washington, D.C., named the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial.
As a free society, we have a moral responsibility to make sure that the sacrifice of those who provide the way of life that we enjoy here in this country are always remembered. So, and thank you. Pat and I go back a good ways too. Pat, you do great work. It's always been an honor to work alongside you, and I appreciate the honor that you give. So our viewers and listeners, some probably, I doubt seriously if any of them don't know about the Unity Tour, because you guys are pretty profound. You've played a big role for a number of years, but let's go back to its humble beginnings. Pat, you talk about the idea, you talk about it takes a small army to make these things happen. It all starts with a spark of an idea. Talk about how this, probably, my guess is probably a couple of beers involved, and turned into something that has made one hell of a statement in support of law enforcement. And it's what a fitting tribute. And anybody who's been there when riders arrive at the memorial knows that this is something special.
Yeah, it was all along the time, Pat, and you're very aware, of when we had programs that were trying to hire law enforcement for community policing. And then there was all this talk about how law enforcement becomes more engaged with the community and the public, and all these things were going on. And then at the same time, we're having riots in California. We're having all this stuff happen. Law enforcement officers are lacking the respect, being killed, murdered, and slain. And I'm sitting at a community policing class in Philadelphia, learning how to ride a bicycle that you think when you're a kid, I know how to ride a bicycle. But when you the bicycle is actually the leader of that when you're a child, because you don't know how to really operate and maintain and do what's necessary for that bike to be a tool for you or a resource. So I'm in this class, I'm sitting down, and they want us to give a presentation of how you can make a difference in law enforcement through this transverse idea of community policing, when it was the infant part of it, and I said that we need to unite together. We need to not just say we're going to do something that is not a demonstration, but something that is greater than a demonstration. You ride with your heart and you show people who you are and you show people how much you care, and you put yourself out there when most people would say, I don't know if I want to do that. I have enough to worry about within my own agency. So there lies a programming. I was so caring and being involved with the memorial, losing, you know, people on your own job, you know, friends, you know, officers, that my uncle was my hero. So he was an Essex County officer and he was the director of Essex County Police Department, and they lose officers that you know and you care about. And you're wondering, when the bagpipes stop playing, Pat, who's there for them? What happens when those people go home? What happens when they have to wake up the next morning and wonder whether or not the people that they protected, are they going to protect them back? That's what I call the Police Unity Tour, just like the FOP and all the other amazing organizations out there. My interest in that was just to show and honor that we would ride our bicycles during a time when we could be together, not knowing who you're riding next to Washington, D.C., sounding so crazy to do so. But we in law enforcement are built up of the camaraderie from the police academy. You remember your academy bunkmate. You remember the people that you served with during that period of time. And this is what the Unity Tour brought back: the believability in yourself, the believability in the honor, the believability in being able to protect and respect one's gift. And that is giving their life for you and me, not just for the citizens they serve. But think about it, Pat. The greatest thing in the world is being able to come up and hug and love your family. But one day, we go to work, that may end. So I say to all the listeners that are out there, be a part of what we're hoping to be a part of. And that's be someone saying, I'm engaged. I want to be a part of a solution, not a problem. I want to be a part of honor and respect and recognize those stories that we constantly don't hear, the true stories of all of law enforcement. We hear these very small, marginal stories. And yes, I had to tell people crazy stories to get them to be involved in the Unity Tour. There's no hills. Call people up, them hang up on me like Harry, saying to me, Pat, there's no way. But you know what he did? 7 seconds later, called me back and said, hey, you know what? Sounds crazy, but you got something there. Let's do this. And we did it. And not everybody can get on a bicycle. Not anybody could be a part of a support team and move a small group across 4 states and 1 district to show this representation. And in doing so, we bring ourselves and we educate our people that are involved in this of their own agencies, historical losses, other agencies, to let them know the sacrifices, so we could teach them how to live, not die. To live. And that's our greatest asset, Pat.
24,000 or so names engraved on a national memorial. Yes. And, you know, we can look at it and say, man, this is impressive. It's a beautiful place, very fitting tribute. And you go there any time of the year, you can look at the memorial, and, you know, it's a beautiful place. But you go there during Police Week, and those names become faces. They become families. They become stories. And it's 24,000 stories of people who went to work and didn't return. Also, that we can have the way of life, the cycle of life that we've become so, I guess, take for granted here in America. So, Harry, so 18 people, you got that phone call and hug up on him. I can appreciate that. That's a little bit of a, just the thought of sitting in a bicycle seat that long for me is enough to have me hang up on it. But Harry, let's talk about that first year. It's a concept, drawing it out and talking it through it from that first year. Tell me about the first year, and then we'll contrast that to the really tens of thousands of people who ride today.
Yeah, well, the first year, like I said, Pat tried about 50 people, and 19 said yes, and the day we were supposed to leave, we left from Florham Park. And I'll never forget, his mayor at the time gave us a chocolate bar with a little heart on it. And it said, whenever you're tired and want to quit, eat this chocolate bar, you know? But anyway, the day we were supposed to leave, we had 19 names on this little trailer that was following us. But there was 18 of us. One person didn't show. It was cold. It was windy. And all of us were kind of hard chargers, a lot younger and a lot hard, you know, nobody wanted to get in the van. Nobody even wanted to take their turn driving the truck. But luckily for the real hard chargers, it started to rain. So we had a couple of younger guys. They said, well, you know, we'll drive the truck a little longer. Okay, well, and they did, and we all stayed out. We were driving with garbage bags on our heads to keep the rain off. And it was a pretty crazy trip. And we get down to D.C. And first of all, we're sleeping in places where you wouldn't want to sleep. You wake up and you're drying yourself off with like a ragged washcloth. Thanks, Pat, for booking those places. And we get down to D.C. and it's raining. Nobody's there, and we ride through the wall. And I'm not a nice guy. I'm not a religious guy. And I felt those names say to me, where the F have you been? Now when I ride through that wall, it's welcome, brother. That feeling was so powerful. I got goosebumps now thinking about it. It almost knocked me off the bicycle. And we were all riding around, and we each probably did two laps around the memorial. And nobody was looking at anybody because everybody was crying. And it was quite an accomplishment. And again, once again, a tribute to somebody having an idea and following it through. And we were able to go back and express what that meant to us. And it brought other people in. And once they did, once you do it once, you're hooked, Pat. You know what it is. And people say, well, why do you do it? And you say, because it's the right thing to do. You want to know something? I'm alive. I get to come home, enjoy my wife, my kids, and my grandkids. They don't.
Harry, what year was that?
One of them that wouldn't get out of their cold, damp grave to make that trip, hug their wife and loved ones, and climb back in the grave with a smile on their face. That's how much that means to us.
Absolutely. What year was that, Harry?
That was 1997.
Wow. And it's a lot of miles. How many miles have y'all ridden since then?
Oh, God. It's about a 300-mile trip, and this is going to be our 28th. Yeah. I heard you're the mathematician, so you can do that.
well, it's a great tribute. Thank you.
When we started, we were planning on giving $1,000 per person when we got down to Memorial. We give Craig Floyd a check. We got to call him to come out now. Come out. He says, it's raining. I said, I don't care. Get out here if you want the money. So he comes out and we give him a check for $18,000. Well, we didn't have $18,000. We were a little short. But when we came home, we raised the money, and we told Craig, don't cash that check yet. But we raised the money when we came home. And the next year, what did we have? 33 people, you know, 37, I'm sorry, 37 people. And then we went from 37 to 50. And we said, how the hell are we ever going to get down there with 50 people? How are we going to do this? You know, because you used to ride at your own rate, change your own flats, eat when you wanted to. And, you know, you would just meet at different locations. But great trip. And you know how hard it is to get 6 or 7 cops to do the same thing. Well, we're able to get 2,400 people to do the same thing, to honor the fallen. And it's just a great thing. Pat, why don't you fill in a couple little bit with...
Well, Harry failed to tell you that they fired me from the route committee after the first year because we got lost. Imagine this. You tell people, you go, uh-oh, and they go, uh-oh, for what? We're 7 miles in the wrong direction, and we're on bicycles. You know, thinking about it now, thinking about those things now, it's the funniest thing. Like, you would say to myself, oh, my God, how did we make that mistake? But thank God we did. I mean, it brought us all together. The stories are like no different than, you know, Pat, when you're sitting around a locker room and you're sitting there and you're engaging with somebody, no matter where we go, I want to say you meet somebody from your organization like you, Pat, you know, we're all intermingled. All your members are our members too. You know, not all, but many. So my point is that we all have this commonality. And what the honor of that first year brought us is that people wanted to know what we were doing, and we were believable because we went out there for a purpose, and it wasn't just about the money. It was about, we carry a bracelet on our wrist, and the officer selects who comes on the tour bracelets from either this year of officers that are going to be engraved on the wall, or past historical, or even a family member. And what we do is we educate them on how they lost their life, what they sacrificed, what year it was, and we contact their family. And when we ride into the memorial, we're in hopes that we're able to engage with that family. And many, many hundreds of officers have made relationships with families where they would have never made them if they didn't have this opportunity for all of us to be together on this ride. And, you know, this... Yeah, and you know, the greatest thing now, it's our 28th year. And you say to yourself, longevity matters. What does it mean that 28 years we're still going and still going strong? It means that we're working together with you and all the other organizations that are out there, hoping that we try to do our best to show that what our goal is to do a 3.5-day ride to Washington, D.C. from the locations that is chosen and picked for all our chapters. And as we converge into RFK Stadium, waiting for the honor trip from RFK to the memorial to get your opportunity to ride around the wall, like Harry said, in the early days when it was just not laissez-faire, but not as organized and structured and clinical as we have it today with motorcycles and medical teams and all the support staff and everybody else around us. Early on, to me, felt the most amazing thing I could ever say. Like, I became, they're my family, in addition to the police officer family. And as you would say, Pat, you running the largest law enforcement organization in the world, and you're saying to yourself, this is my family. I want to make sure that they realize I work that hard for them or work with them. But like I said, this is not a Pat Monturi show. This is an honor. Everybody, I could never do this on my own. Ideas are great. You know, thank you, Harry, for giving me that credit. But without Harry and without the team of people that we've had to do this, this organization would not be where it was today. Another sidebar Harry didn't tell you. Everybody told me after the first year, lose my number. My legs are hurting. I'm constipated. I ate garbage food. I don't feel well, right? And then less than 3 days later, I'm back in New Jersey, and I'm getting phone calls from Florida, people saying, I'm coming back. And I said, I thought you said lose the number. They said, well, we got to have a little bit more organization and not use your route. Your route was horrible.
Well, you know, I tell you, this is a good contrast. So roughly how many people we have now, any given year?
Between 2,000 and 2,500. COVID kind of hurt us. We were at a $2,500 member mark riding, and that's our max because of hotels. We wish we could have 10,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And we possibly could, you know, if that was possible. But the hotels, the logistics of it kind of restrict us in that area.
So in 28 years, we've got literally tens of thousands of officers who have taken time and made this journey, this pilgrimage to, you know, for riding 300 miles in order to honor a fallen of a person. And they're not riding alone. They're paired off with the name of someone who's on that wall. It makes it way more personal. It helps them push through it. I can imagine that they have a lot of conversations in their mind during this journey that is pretty powerful. But so we know we started off with 18, and we knew that it grew gradually. And I certainly understand why people were part of it. But let's talk about the logistics of it now. Where do you start? Now it's a fine. I watched it. It's a finely tuned machine that really takes in consideration every possible aspect of running a successful operation over 300 miles and moving people in just everything along the way. So let's walk through that process. It starts off where? Let's talk about the logistics and behind the scenes of the things that I think people, they see it and say, that's pretty cool, but they don't realize the small army that makes it happen.
Well, it's kind of like magic, Pat. Nobody sees what's behind the scenes or the bumps or the lumps as well as in any organization. Yeah. It's funny. We have four chapters that leave from New Jersey, all from different places. We have a chapter that leaves from the bottom of Virginia, and a chapter that leaves kind of from the top of Virginia, and one that leaves from Pennsylvania. And they all have separate routes, and you know, we're all motorcycle assistants. All the towns that we go through give us huge helps. We have great sponsors like Target that give us their parking lots to set up the porta-johns, which are very important, you know. And not only does Target do that, but they also provide Gatorade, mm-hmm. snacks, bananas, everything that you need. And it's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's quite a logistical nightmare at times, because we also have to figure what happens if we have bad weather. Twice we've had to shut down because of lightning, and now we call buses to pick up people, bring them to the hotels early, and you know, we have the real hardcore people screaming, "I'll ride through it, I'll put my bike on my back, I'll swim over the flooded out water." Well, we can't do that, you know that. Yeah. So we don't, but was it the second year, Pat, that we went over the bridge that we weren't supposed to?
Yes.
Did you get fired there too?
It said no bicycles, and we had a state trooper with us, right? Maryland state trooper. And he looked at us and he goes, "What do you guys want to do?" He says, "It's their bridge, but my highway. If you guys want to go, I'll bring you." And he said, "You don't got to tell us twice." Well, we started over that bridge, and the red lights are, the arrows are clicking. Well, anyway, it wasn't a good decision. We had a couple flats, and it was pretty windy up there. But we get over. And the next year, you know, Department of Transportation was waiting for us. They said, "No, you're not getting over this year." So we had to put trailers, tow trucks, whatever we could get, and we got the bikes over. But that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But just feeding everybody is a nightmare, trying to get everybody fed in the morning, because in the beginning it was up to you, find your own food, you know, or bring it. Yeah. And so now we have the hotels provide dinner, and we've just picked up a great sponsor with Jersey Mike. Now they help us with lunch, you know, they give us a great discount. And that's what everybody eats. They eat subs for lunch. Yeah. And if they're vegetarian, we tell them put grass on it, you know. But what are you going to do? You know, you're a vegan, can't help you. But and we get a lot of donations. And now we use refrigerator trucks to keep the water cold. And we just do it. The people that we have that take over these different, we have transportation people, motor people, brake teams. We have people go ahead and make sure the porta-johns have arrived, because how so very important they are. In the beginning, we used to run into McDonald's, any place we could find. One time in Maryland, we got a little tied up. And, you know, when you're on a bike and you got to go, you got to go. Well, a couple guys were going on to church. We got a call. So we had to go down and apologize. But things went
smoothly.
They went
smoothly on a fence line. That was the back of it. They didn't see the church, just to be, you know, to clear it up. They didn't see the church. They just saw a fence line, ran off their bikes real quick. And then later on, you could see when you stop and you actually take a look at your surroundings, not rushing, not to interrupt you. But
might have wanted to lead with that, Harry.
Yep. No, it was. Yeah. It's all good. And now, again, like I said, you know, we hope that even our own members don't see the bumps that we have to see, like we're screaming ahead to get this ready, get that ready, you know. Like the one morning we had a call off the trip because in Annapolis it was flooded out, trying to get buses early in the morning, you know. And then negotiating with them, you know, they're going, "Well, you need the bus." And, "Well, let's talk about the price." "No, we're not going to talk about it." "Yeah, we need to talk about it."
Yeah.
But we always got it done. And again, it's just such a privilege to be able to honor our fallen. And to realize again how lucky we are that it's not us, because at any given time you don't know if anybody ever thought, be pretty easy to shoot this guy. You know, you walk, you have a motor vehicle stop and you walk past the limousine and you got all the darkened windows there and you think to yourself, that wasn't too smart. But
guys, I want you to think back. Okay. You went, both of y'all were on that first one, 18 people. Yeah. Rode into the memorial. Nobody was there. He made a couple of loops around. You had your own moment of realization. I just finished 300 miles in honor of the people on this wall. And I'm sure it was a pretty powerful and spiritual thing for both of you. But I've been there with you guys. I'm sorry to say, because of the schedule with Police Week and all the things going on, it's just not possible for me to break away the front part of that. I can tell you that my agency has been a huge part of this. They trailered their motorcycle unit from Louisiana, from New Orleans metro area, to the southern part of Virginia, and brought, yep, did part of the escort for years. Yep. Been a huge part of this. But I've been there when you guys come in now. And it's, for contrast, both of you, just real short in your own spiritual, way of the moving experience that you've had from going from that very first one of having 18 people and nobody there to now, there are literally thousands of people around the memorial, steady clapping and cheering on as the riders come in, and they just don't seem to stop. The riders come in, and just the riders coming in is like an hour by itself. Talk about that contrast and the pride that both of you must have in that journey from 28 years of going 18 people to literally thousands of people waiting for you to arrive.
Well, it's always it's a major relief when the last bicycle goes through and you know everybody's safe. It's so huge. And both Pat and I have had the privilege of having our sons on the trip with us. My son's a captain in the Morris Township, New Jersey. I'm very proud of him. I did 10 trips on a bike. He did 11 just to beat me. And Pat's son came on a trip. He's a Marine. He came and he did support, and he worked his tail off. He worked hard. And it's something like that is just priceless to be able to do that. Like, you look at your son and you're just full of pride that he did the same thing, that he wanted to do it and that he gets it, and Pat's son in the Marine Corps, the same thing, it's an honor to honor your fallen. And you can't say that enough. You can't say that it's the right thing to do. And like you said, you've been there, your people have been there. We have great sponsors. It's just an unbelievable feeling. And to see the people clapping, and from the first time when we rode in, nobody was there but the rain, and how special that was to all of us, though, right, Pat, that we got it done. And it was just pretty amazing. And Pat, let me add one thing. We had one guy one time, we'd like to laugh about the questions that we get. And you can answer this one if you want. I had a guy call me and he said, "How is the wind in New Jersey?"
There isn't any.
I'm going to sum it up. I'm going to say it. Do you know, Pat, when you talk to your guys in your precinct and you say to yourself, it's snowing outside, and somebody will call from the community, say, "Is it snowing?" And you say, "Hey, look out your window," right? Do you know how to get to so-and-so? And then when you give them the directions, they're trying to give you better directions back. It doesn't change. That don't change. But I tell you what did change. In my heart, being able to see when people say we're not supported, we support each other. And that's what we continue to do. And believability within your own heart, knowing that every single year for 28 years, you're doing the best you can to honor the people that you respect and love that gave their lives, but also respecting those who are still living and letting them know that they matter. So to me, going from 18 years as somebody not being as educated in a sense of understanding your own field, from what Harry said, the backside of it. Most people see you in a police car, black and a white, police car, a white police car, many different colors of cars out there, but they see you roll up in this steel and they think right away, you're not human, you don't bleed, you don't cry, you're gonna come out and you're gonna handle this, or you're gonna aggravate me or take me away. But now, behind the scenes, you see people hugging each other, crying with tears, lost a loss of a member of their agency. Someone says, well, you didn't know them. I said, yes, I did. I serve the same way. I wake up the same way in the morning, or I go to work when you're sleeping at night to protect you. So when someone says to me, you don't know them all, but yes, I do. I know who they are, what they stand for, and who we are. So from me learning from being this young officer, then 28 years later, you know, into this and finding out, when I look around and I see the people there, I say thank you under my breath and to them out loud. But I say thank you. Thank you for believing in yourself. Thank you for believing in this wall. Thank you for believing in your career. And thank God that we have the rule of law. Because we all see when things happen during COVID or certain times of crises in law enforcement, one officer makes a mistake, 900,000 active and 2.6 million retire, pay for it every day, and their families. We're human beings. We make mistakes. And that's what people need to realize. We make mistakes, but that's a very small 1%, a half a percent of all the things that go on in law enforcement with us are the disciplinary aspect. Out of 900,000 officers, I'm proud to say that we don't have a dynamic of every day someone doing something in every agency that's hurting our name. Does it happen? Yeah, it happens.
You look at the amount of you look at the amount of contacts the law enforcement officers have with the public across this country on any given day. There are literally millions of contacts any given day. And of that, such a small percentage result to something that has turned into any kind of use of force. So, you know, it's a misconception. The problem is you know, especially with media the way it is today, when something does happen, that's not right. Look, there's nothing, you know, nobody hates a bad cop worse than a good cop. And we all police our own. We recognize this is our profession. We didn't take this profession to do anything but to help people. And at the end of the day, what you've got is like you said, 900,000 people who show up every single day in communities across this country make a difference. They're brave enough to put on a badge and stand in line between order and chaos. And what a fitting tribute. I want to thank you and all of your members for I personally have watched the impact that this has had on the people at the memorial. Watch the survivors there cheering on the riders as they come in, and I know that there's a tremendous amount of sacrifice to give this honor, and it's not lost on anyone. And that's what a fitting tribute. I want to shift gears a little bit, and not that I want to, you know, take anything away from the great work that you do in bringing honor to law enforcement officers, because. And I'm going to come back to that. We'll talk about those, you know, kind of share some information of those that maybe want to be part of this. We'll close up with that. But there's a second part to all of this. You know, you started off by saying you asked Craig Floyd, who's, you know, was at that time the executive director of the Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, to come out so that you can give him a check for $18,000. Now, so this is 28 years. The first one was $18,000. Maybe you have a few bake sales at the end to make it happen, but that number is really kind of small compared to what you do now. Let's talk about the other side, the good that is done. Not only are you bringing attention to our fallen and showing support and just tremendous respect and sacrifice for those that have sacrificed so much more than any of us could, you know, that have the ability to stand here and be part of this. This honor knows that. Nothing we do is going to even come close to the families and the officers' names that are on that walls. But there's a lot of good done. It comes from the fundraising. It's done on the other side of this. This is not just a tribute. This is also raising funds to do some really profound stuff. Which one of you would like to kind of give us an update of where we are on that?
We can't wait to jump at it. But I'm going to give a little piece, and then Harry could sum it up on what we totally give You know, we vowed in the very beginning that, you know, we were going to always remember, and it wasn't about the money, but we wanted to make sure our place, which we call our place, is the memorial. It's the people's place. It's owned by us all, and we have the responsibility and the right to take care of it, like we said earlier. So from $18,000, we started to go up, you know, a little bit more as we started to grow, because it's $1,000 a member as we come to give to the memorial. And that money goes to the operational and aspects to keep that memorial in a pristine, and also for the engraving of all the names as they will be being engraved on April 8th this year, as they are every year prior to May, so that we are ready to honor them when it comes to our candlelight vigil. So we go from 18,000 to say 50,000, which we thought was a milestone, to 100,000. Then after, you know, September 11th, Pat, I'd be remiss not to mention that we were involved in September 11th, also left the following May in 2002 with our bicycles through the tunnel to honor, you know, all the fallen of law enforcement there, as well as we all volunteered, not all, some of us volunteered there during that period of time as well. And then we started raising $100,000. Well, to tell you that we've raised $2.5 million in one season. And we've been raising over $2 million for the last, and Harry, please correct me, for the last 10 years. Is that accurate? You know, and then Harry could go on into detail about, you know, about how much we've raised. You know, Harry sits on our board of directors with you, Pat, as you said, and he's a part of making sure the resources and the funds are put in, and spent in the right places, and being able to come back to tell our membership. And if he doesn't like something, as well as you or any other board member, we want to be able to voice our opinion on how we feel and how to represent the best interest of what we do. We know that we're a large contributor, but there are many contributors there, and everybody's voice should be heard. But, you know, being that we're specifically speaking about our goals and vision, we want to make sure that wall remains pristine. We want to make sure that the names are engraved appropriately. And I'll take it Harry's line, when we started seeing in the wall the names not being able to be seen, and they needed that backing color and to be engraved deeper, the Unity Tour spent $2 million, almost $2 million, making sure that they were re-engraved. They were already engraved. We went a little bit deeper into the stone to make sure that those family members would not come there and say, oh my God, the T looks like it's not a T any longer and I can't read my loved one's name. How disrespectful could that be? And then we heard that by just being on the board, and Pat, you've heard this, that we needed to grow in expansion, because guess what? Cops are dying. Every year, it doesn't stop. This is a living memorial. We got to let people know. Every year, we add people's names to this, not just from the history, but present day. We just saw one of our fallen in New York City, right? We see it. So guess what? The $2.5 million to me is not enough for to take care of that wall. It's not enough. It's not enough to be clear on an expansion for it, that we had to put a 18-inch expansion across the entire wall to make sure that we have names, that we're not putting them on a computer screen or a piece of cardboard, and to honor them and making sure that they're engraved appropriately. So, I mean, I could go on for a half hour with this, but I'd really like to hear, you know, Harry finish up with the perspective of, you know, the finances, and from his point of view as the leader of the charge of, you know, it doesn't end when we get done in May. People are like, oh, you go home, you're on vacation. No, we go back and we mop up that previous year till June. Then we start the new year, June 1st, going into the next. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold. So, you know, it's, to me, this is not a job. This is a passion. This is a responsibility. And, you know, Pep, why don't you bring us to where we are today and some of your points of view about where I was talking about.
Well, I think you covered it pretty well. You know, I think one of our biggest things was having every name re-engraved, and what a sense of pride it was when we rode through the next year and the wall was back to being pristine again. And there's so much more to do. Pat was huge in getting that 18-inch extension put on the memorial wall. And what was that commission that we had to go to, Pat? Fine Arts? Commission of Fine Arts, and they were saying, yeah, and they were telling us, well, it's not aesthetically pleasing to the eye, and we were going, you know, or a four-year-old is not going to be able to read a name up there. And we had to say, listen, with all the cops around, at any time, someone will gladly pick up that little four-year-old and let him see his mother or father's name up on that wall. So let's get it done. And we were able to get that done. Police Uni Tour paid for that, and Pat stayed on the job and made sure that it got done. He had to deal with the architect. And, you know, in D.C., things move backwards. They don't even move forward. That's how slow they go. They're going backwards. But anyway, the first year, 18,000. Second year was 50,000. Our New Jersey State PBA was a huge sponsor for us with that. They really helped us out. I mean, they're the ones that got us uniforms and, you know, just told us how to, you know, if you're going to do it big. And that's what we did. And it's one of the few times where, you know, PBA and FOP, it all depends on what department you go to. It's like being born Catholic or Protestant. Yet, on the uni tour, we're all the same. Everybody's the same. We're cops and we want to honor our dead. And that's what we do. We're like the Spartans. We carry their names into the memorial instead of on the shields. But to date, and this is going into our 28th year, we've raised about $35 million. But it is amazing, but it's $1,000 per person. That's how we figure it. Again, Pat said our biggest year was $2.8 million. And that was just insane that we were able to do that. But since COVID, so many departments are shorthanded. You know, it's tougher and tougher to get people. And really, we'd like to get a whole lot of new, younger people and have them start riding.
Well, that's a perfect segue. Thank you, because we're going to wrap this up now. But Pat, why don't you tell us, if somebody wants to know more about being part of the Unity Tour, what's the best way for them to go about it?
You can take a look at us on our website. It's www.policeunitytour.com. Come to our website and you'll see QR codes for you to be able to, you know, get involved. Also, we have a podcast as well. It's on RVN Television and it's called On Your Honor Straight Talk. And, you know, it talks about how you can get involved. It brings on guests to be able to do so. I also be remiss if I didn't say thank you to all our members. They've able to date raise $35 million from 1997 into 2023 into 24. $35 million for our fallen. Again, it's not enough, and it's what we need to do. It's our place, and we need to continue. I thank all the supporters, especially you, Pat, for always being very big with your membership, with the Unity Tour, providing us whatever, any assistance that we needed along the way. You said earlier, you think it's minor motorcycles. That's huge. We can't survive without it. And ambulance workers and everybody that volunteers to help us do this. And, you know, I could keep going on, Pat. It's an honor to be sitting here with you and Harry and being able to tell our story.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you. I want to thank all of you members. I realize it's just two of you here and you know, asking you a whole lot of questions, but there's an army behind you that make this happen every year. And I want you to know that, you know, as a 36 year law enforcement officer myself, and, you know, as president of FOP, I want to thank all of you for what you do, all of your members, what you do in the honor of our fallen. This is a journey we all take together. And as I said earlier, we have a moral responsibility to make sure that the memories of our fallen are never forgotten and that our families are never forgotten. And the work that you do, not only in a tribute to riding and then calling attention and awareness to the memorial itself and to the fallen, the funds that you raise do some great work for law enforcement. Thank you very much
for
all that you do.
Does this mean you're going to ride the bike next year?
Look, I would love to ride the bike. The problem I have is that in my role, I start the week before my events here in D.C.
Oh, yeah, no, we know. Just,
in order to be able to break away, would be impossible for me to be able to find a way to put that in and not satisfy the things I need over that week. But I would love to. I would absolutely love to. And never say never. I will make that happen one year.
Thank you for the privilege of being on this podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you. And to our viewers and listeners who are tuning in, thank you for tuning into the Blue View podcast, where we talk about the issues that are so vitally important to the men and women who suit up and show up every single day in communities across this country and make a difference in the lives of those they serve. Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. To get the latest from the National FOP, make sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at GLFOP. And on Instagram at FOP National. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.